Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Phone calls can be the only link to the outside world for some Ohio prison inmates. But in Ohio and many other states, those calls aren't cheap. In fact, some call it gouging. Prison phone service providers charge inmates or their friends and relatives who call them higher than normal rates for other services as well. Coming up later, we'll hear about how it works in other states and how Ohio stacks up in this category. Joining us now to talk about phone and other costs of incarceration to the inmate is WOSU's 89.7 NPR news reporter, Mandy Trimble. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Ann.
For our listeners, have you or a family member had a reason to place a call to a prison or place a call from a prison? And have you been faced with these fees? Give us a call and tell us what your experience has been, 614-292-8513. Mandy, you reported and produced a two-part series on the costs of incarceration to the inmate. Mm-hmm. Phone calls are particularly precious. What are the higher charges for? Why is this system different?
Well, I don't really know why the system is different from, say, a cell phone bill, but one reason that some people would say it charges more is because basically these companies have a monopoly over all the prisons. It's not like there are a lot of different carriers that inmates or their families can choose from. There's one carrier in Ohio, and that's Global Tel Link, and their charges it's what inmates and their families have to pay. That's the choice. And if they want to talk to their loved one, they have to pay those fees.
If listeners want to hear Mandy's stories on this topic, they can go to WOSU.org. They're online now. The higher costs affect inmates, friends, and families too. They pay. How does the system work? Why does it affect them? Why can't they just use their own phone for that?
Well, they can't. The state has a contract with Global Tel Link, and they have to use that service. Family members can't just send an inmate a prepaid phone card and the inmate can use it. They have to use this service. And one reason why is because this service doesn't just provide a phone service. They also monitor the calls. They monitor who, the inmate is calling. So there is that security aspect of it, mm-hmm. Which you would expect, with a prison. So the inmates and their families do have to use this service. There's not much of a free market, if you will.
What does a phone call cost? Tell us about the costs.
Well, it varies. We'll start with out-of-state calls first, because there were some changes recently that the FCC made. They capped out-of-state calls because they were just outrageous. They were about a dollar a minute, a little over a dollar a minute, actually, when you figure in the surcharges. Mm-hmm. Until the middle of last month, those fees were about $17 for a 15-minute phone call. That was about, depending whether the call was a collect call or prepaid, you do get a little bit of a discount if family members prepay for calls. Those amounted to about 87 cents a minute, but there was a nearly a $4 service charge on that. So you have to kind of figure that in too. It all works together. So that's a little over a dollar a minute. For in-state calls or local calls, it varies also. It depends on where you're calling in the state. But on average, a daytime call could be about $4 a minute. $4 for a 15-minute phone call. A lot of people call in the evening. That's about $2.50 for a 15-minute phone call. And it doesn't sound like much. But if you talk a couple of times a week, that does add up. And for lower income families, that can really put a burden on their finances.
Inmates work, though, and they're paid to work.
Right. They are.
How much do they?
The ODRC said on average about $20 a month. But, the inmate could use that for commissary items, whether that's Tylenol or snacks. So $20 doesn't go a long way. And charges in the commissary, as I'm sure that we'll get to later, are a little more expensive than they are at, say, a Walmart or other kind of super center.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. And right now I'm talking with WOSU reporter Mandy Trimble. She produced and reported a two-part series on the costs of incarceration to the inmate, in particular, the cost of phone calls. If you want to listen to that series, you can go to our website at WOSU.org. We invited someone from the state prison system to the show. They declined the invitation, but Ohio Prison's Deputy Director Annette Chambers-Smith told you that they need the phone commissions. Let's listen.
Without any additional general revenue dollars, we would have to stop doing something else we're doing. And I have to say, I've seen our whole budget, and I don't think there's a whole lot we're doing that's optional.
Okay, so how much is the state making from this system?
Okay, so GTL pays the Ohio Department of Rehabilitation and Corrections, or the prison system, $15 million a year for that contract, $15 million a year in commissions. The prison system uses that for inmate payroll. They use it for teacher salaries, for educational programs, as well as for substance abuse programs. And the prison system says we would have to scale back those programs. They would have to scale back if they did not have those commissions. Now, just to kind of give our listeners an idea, because in our story, we were limited on time, so we weren't able to really delve deep into this. But they use about $4 million a year for inmate payroll. The $8.2 million a year for teacher salaries, and almost $4 million for substance abuse programs. And the state says those are necessary. They need that money and they need the programs. And if they didn't have the money, have those commissions, they wouldn't be able to offer as many of those programs.
How much does the phone company make?
Well, we took a look at that as well, and last year GTL made $21 million in Ohio alone. Now, our listeners don't know this probably unless they listen to the story, and GTL has contracts with more than half of the nation's prison systems. Plus, they have contracts in almost every single state with other prison providers, not necessarily states. So, you know, they're raking in the money. But in Ohio, they made about $21 million off of 13 million phone calls.
This is after paying the state $15 million. It was $21 million on top of that.
That we don't know, because GTL declined to comment, and all I have is, you know, the document that was provided by the state. So whether this is gross or net, I don't know.
How many other companies compete? Do you know?
I've read on occasion that there are several companies out there. I mean, there are a handful. I think five or six different providers. I don't know how many the state looked at, but ODRC did say that this was the best value for inmates and their families. But keep in mind, there is this is written into the contract, those commissions. So whether other companies wanted to pay that $15 million commission, I don't know. GTL was willing to do that.
Phone calls aren't the only service that inmates are forced to pay for. Obviously, you said the commissary, if they want to get a candy bar or whatever, if they want to get Tylenol, do they pay fair market value for those things, though?
For some things that they do. The prison says that for medical, any kind of medicine, whether it be, you know, Tylenol or acetaminophen or ibuprofen, they pass that on at cost. Other items, though, do have a profit, and it depends on what it is. Now, the prison system says that they turn around and use that profit to pay the people who work at the commissary. But it's not, I wouldn't necessarily call it fair market value. As we looked at some of the items and reported, you know, inmates can purchase, MP3 players, and they're twice as much, but that's not necessarily sold by the prison. That's sold by another company who also jacks up the price. And
has a contract with the state to do that?
Yes. and also has a contract. So, and they have to go through this company because they have to be, again, it's a security issue. Mm-hmm. You know, these aren't MP3 players that you and I would purchase. They're clear, you know, so they can see inside of them. But they're not, they're, it's about double what we would pay on the outside. And the majority of this money comes from families. Families are the ones who deposit this money into an account so inmates can purchase these items.
And there are fees to deposit the money into the accounts. What about those?
Well, that varies, too. It depends on which account and where they deposit the money. A family member could go to a kiosk at a prison, kind of like a little ATM. It looks like an ATM, and they can deposit money there. And it's a $3 service charge, which is, you know, what you would expect at some kind of ATM.
If they're able to get to the prison, they can only do it at the prison.
Okay. They can do it at the prison, or they can do it at the parole center, but okay. You've got to be able to get there also. You've got to think about transportation needs as well. They can also deposit money online, but the fees on that vary too. They can be up to $12.50 depending on the amount that is deposited in there, and that can really, really add up. There is a cheaper way to do it. As the prison system pointed out, they can send in a money order, but that takes time, that takes legwork, and if an inmate needs cash right away for whether it be a, you know, phone or something at the commissary that he or she needs, they're going to want to do that online if they can get to the internet. So, it, you know, there are ways around these high fees, but, you know, there's a cost to that, too. And that's time and, you know, time and legwork.
We asked listeners if they have made calls into or out of the prison system. Give us a call, 614-292-8513. Gail in Westerville, you're on the air. Welcome, Gail.
Yes, I'm calling in regard to, an inmate that we know through a family connection.
Mm-hmm.
Their family has put money on this global tail and never been able to talk to their family member.
Hmm.
They've called the facility where the family member is. They've tried to talk to the people there, but they have still not been able to hear from their family member. So what happens then, and what is the result of that,
okay.
And how do they fight this, I guess,
okay.
Or how do they find out what happened to their money?
Gail, let's find out. is there any consumer protection for the inmates or their friends and family that try to call?
Yeah. I mean, there are, and again, this is another issue that I've read about and I've talked to people about, is it's difficult to maneuver and, you know, navigate the system. There's really no one there to help these families say, okay, this is where you need to deposit the money. This is who you need to call. As far as Global Tail Link, I know that they do have a customer service line listed on their website. So if this family member were to go to the Global Tail Link webpage, there is a number and there is an email. I know that they can email. And I actually did email Global Tail Link and heard back within a day from a customer service representative. As far as, you know, finding out how to contact their inmate, I don't know if the inmate has an account set up. You know, there's a lot of minutia that goes into all of this. And I really don't know what to tell this listener to do other than to contact Global Tail Link personally. And I've read on a lot of consumer websites, a lot of complaints that people have made about the customer service from Global Tail Link isn't the best. But that would be my first recommendation. The other recommendation I would make is to contact the Public Utilities Commission of Ohio. And I do know that they're the ones who are supposed to help consumers negotiate any kind of complaints with utility companies. So that would maybe be the next step if they're not able to work with Global Tail Link on that issue.
Okay. You're listening to All Sides with Dan Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm Ann Fisher. Phone calls can be the only link to the outside world for some Ohio prison inmates, but in Ohio and many other states, those calls aren't cheap. Ohio prison phone services provide inmates or their friends and relatives, or I should say providers, charge inmates and their friends or relatives much higher rates than what we pay in the outside. Coming up later, we'll hear about how it works in other states. Still with us is 89.7 NPR News reporter Mandy Trimble. She produced and reported a two-part series on phone and other charges that inmates pay while incarcerated. You can listen to that at WOSU.org. Also joining us now is Mike Brickner of the American Civil Liberties Union of Ohio. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on.
Why is the cost of a phone call a civil liberties issue?
Well, I think it's extremely important for us to keep in mind how we treat people while they're incarcerated. Taking away someone's liberty is really the most important civil liberties issue. And so the ACLU has always been interested in conditions and what goes on in prisons. And I think it's especially important because there's so much research out there that shows having contact with family members is really the number one thing that indicates whether or not somebody commits a crime in the future. And so having those strong social ties, ensuring that the inmate is treated well while they're in prison, are all extremely important things for us in the criminal justice system.
And Mandy, they're saying that Ohio's recidivism rate is lower.
It's the lowest it's been in some time. It's about 27%. Forgive me if I'm a
meaning about a third go back.
About a third go back. And that's much lower than the national average, which is 40%. So it's still good, you know, it's better than the national average. And so their point would be families and inmates are able to connect. It is working. So, you know, these costs aren't getting in the way of that communication. That would be their point.
Well, and I think the counterpoint to that then would be, you know, 40%, the national average, is a horrible recidivism rate. 27% is better. But it would be our goal that anyone who goes into prison doesn't go back in, that the purpose of going to prison is to rehabilitate a person. And so our goal is to be much lower than the 27%. And again, that contact is so important, especially when the vast majority of people who go into our prisons are low income and certainly their families fall even further into poverty while they're in prison because their loved one isn't able to contribute to the family.
Remind listeners, we did request an interview with someone from the Ohio Department of Rehabilitation and Corrections. They declined our invitation. Chris in Dublin, you're on the air. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Ann. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
A bunch of us from work heard this story on my way in, and we were discussing, and you know, it seems like with all the budgets being slashed, you know, the prisons have to make money somehow, you know, to cover the cost. Mm-hmm. There was a report the other day, Holders was saying that, you know, it costs $30,000 a year to house someone in prison. So I think a lot of people have a hard time understanding, you know, have a hard time feeling sorry for this. I mean, would the families rather pay the $30,000 a year to have free phone calls with their family members? I mean, they are in prison, you know, they're being punished.
Okay.
I mean, I think there's some things that are kind of expected to go with that.
And in fact, I think that it costs more than $30,000 a year to house a prison inmate in the state of Ohio. Chris, thanks for your call. How do you respond to that, Mike Brickner? We're already paying out the nose, it feels like.
Right. So I think that there are a couple different issues there. I think number one, with the cost to taxpayers, why are prisons so expensive? Well, the reason that they're so expensive is because we have so many people in prison right now. We have a state prison system that's built for 36,000 people, and we have over 50,000 there right now.
And it's expected to go up this year.
We're supposed to break records this year.
Right.
It's the inmate population.
The number of inmate population.
Yep. So even though it's a blessing that we have such a low recidivism rate, because if we were at the national average, our prison system would be out of control. And so really, if we're worried about the cost to taxpayers, the answer is to get more people out of prison. Unfortunately, because our prisons are so bursting with the seams with all of the, you know, war on drugs, the different changes to our sentencing guidelines that have led for more people to be in prison, the prison system itself then has to use these quote unquote creative ways to raise money. I think that a lot of family members, one, do understand that they do have to perhaps pay something to talk to their loved one, but they also recognize that they shouldn't be gouged, right? And that we as taxpayers also have to remind ourselves we don't want to spite our face by cutting off our nose, right? And so, sure, we're going to charge someone $5 to talk for 15 minutes on the phone to a person, but if that ends up hurting that person's reentry out to society and they end up committing a new crime, we're going to have to pay that $30,000 or whatever it is to incarcerate that person again for another year. And so it turns into this cycle of more and more cost to the taxpayer, too.
I'm sorry.
No, Mandy Tribble, go
no,
ahead.
No, and I was just going to add, you know, I talked extensively with Betsy Tremblay, whose boyfriend was incarcerated for a number of years. And, you know, she described to me, and I've had other people describe to me, that they felt incarcerated as well when they had done, you know, they weren't the ones who committed the crimes. They're just, you know, trying to contact their loved ones. And she actually said to me, you know, my boyfriend's in prison. I'm not expecting free phone calls at all. She just wanted something reasonable that, you know, was affordable.
Chris in Dublin, thanks a lot for that call. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Well, let's hear from Betsy Tremblay. She, as you said, her boyfriend was in prison for about 3 years, I think. She's in a dispute with Global Tellink over a prepaid account she had when he was in prison. She told you, Mandy, that GTL claims she owes a $200 balance on the account, but she says she wants an itemized statement first. Let's listen.
Once it was out, it would tell you, you have this much left on your account, you need to fill it. And you'd be like, wait a minute, I just put $100 in. How did that go so quickly? So you never knew if you were getting all of your minutes, you never knew if you were getting shortchanged or anything. There was no way to confirm all that.
Okay, that would drive me nuts. Mike Brickner, what kinds of rights do people have?
Well, the phone systems are very unregulated. Really, with the FCC taking action just last month.
On interstate calls.
For interstate calls. That was really one of the first times that the prison phone systems have really been regulated. Ohio does have some administrative rules governing inmates' access to phones. But certainly, depending on your security level while you're in prison, you might have different access to those calls.
Okay.
And family members, again, they're dealing with a private company. So the amount of information that they get from that private company is often very, very little.
Because the private company is providing the service to the prison system, not to the actual users of those phone services.
Well, Global Tellink would say that they do provide inmates who have prepaid accounts itemized statements. That's what they told ODRC when I asked the prison system, brought them this complaint. Hey, we want to know why we owe this balance. We want to see where it's coming from. And GTL provided, actually, it was a made up, it was a just a, you know, a fabricated kind of made up, I don't have it with me, itemized statement. But in speaking with Betsy Tremblay, she says, I never received one of these. My boyfriend never received one of these. They say that they offer these statements, but she never received one. And I have talked to other people, too, who never received one either. So,
and, of course, GTL would not.
They wouldn't talk to me. Right. No.
And in terms of regulation, I mean, even looking just within Ohio, you know, we're talking a lot about the state prison system. County jails also use these systems, and that they don't have the same contracts that the state prison system has. So that even somebody who may be calling from the Franklin Rockland County Jail or the Cuyahoga County Jail might be paying a different or higher rate.
And they're actually generally higher in county jails as well. That's what Betsy told me and other people have told me as well, is that the phone calls can be as high as $8 for a 15-minute phone call.
Does this include calls with lawyers and things like that, Mike Brickner?
Typically, your calls with lawyers you get for free. Attorney-client contact is treated differently than familial contact.
Now, to be fair, with GTL, they are operating within the parameters of state law.
Right.
State law does put a cap on phone calls, so they are operating within the law. They're not doing anything illegal with these charges. So just to, you know, put that out there for listeners, too.
Bill in Akron, you're on the air. Hi, Bill.
Hi. First of all, I'd like to thank Mandy. It sounds like she's done a lot of research. And Mike with the ACLU, they do a phenomenal job. I was incarcerated in the 80s. I'm still active with some prisoner rights. The phone charges are ridiculous. It's a gouge. And then with some of my mom she would have $50 phone bills a month, and I'm very thankful my mom was able to talk to me. This is important. A lot of people in prison don't have family. When they get out, they need family support to help them get back. They had a company in Ohio that was the only company we were allowed to buy from in the 80s. It was called Access, A-C-C-E-S-S. And it was started by a former prison administrator. They seem to pick and choose who inmates can deal with according to the prisons making money. And I don't even know that it's necessarily always the prison itself. One, and two, they say they pay for education with this money. And a lot of these things are mandated by law that they provide.
I was going to ask about that. And Bill, thank you for your call. I was going to ask about things like AA or treatment programs, education, that kind of stuff. If this $15 million went away, wouldn't the state still have to, or wouldn't it be in its prerogative to still offer a lot of that stuff?
Well, I think absolutely it's within their best interest to offer rehabilitative programs. And I think that the Ohio Department of Correction does an okay job with some of that, although we still hear from many prisoners who have to wait 6 months or longer just to get into a rehabilitative program. And in some facilities, there just isn't much of one. But I think that, yes, the state has to offer it. They should offer it. And whether or not this contract existed, we should be focusing on rehabilitation. And it goes back to, where are we prioritizing our corrections dollars? Right now, we spend far more on locking people up than rehabilitating them, whether they're in prison or outside of prison. And so I think that really it goes back to, we have to shrink our prison population. That's the bottom line. And once we're able to do that, I think we should and can reinvest in more rehabilitative programs.
Mandy, were they saying at the DRC that is the sole funding source for those kinds of programs?
They did not say it was the sole funding for all programs. I think they have expanded their programs. They do receive, you know, some funding from the state for these programs, clearly. But with these commissions, they're able to expand those programs. And if they didn't have that money, the programs, there would be even fewer programs. And as Mike said, you know, I've talked to a number of people who have loved ones in prison, and they've all said, as you mentioned, the waits to get into these programs. Specifically, it was Betsy's boyfriend who, I think it was Betsy, I've talked to a couple of folks, who said, you know, by the time he was able to get into a program, it was time to move on to something else. So that it was of no use to him.
Let's go back to who is protecting the consumer in these cases. What about the Public Utilities Commission of Ohio? How have they responded to complaints? Do they get complaints, Mandy?
Well, initially, I was told they didn't have any complaints. The PUCO declined to comment for my story. They declined to do a recorded interview. We exchanged a few emails. I was told at one point the PUCO had not been made aware or contacted about any issues as it related to Global Tel Link. Later, I reached out to them again to see if they wanted to change their stance on doing an interview as it relates to this story. And they did note that they have a few open investigations in particular with this company, but nothing that they say reaches to the level of opening a full-on investigation with the commission. And also, the PUCO is you know, the body that is responsible for monitoring utilities in the state of Ohio, and they do, but as far as having regularly scheduled audits of GTL, they don't.
Mike Brickner, you're nodding.
Yeah, I think that that's very true. After the FCC ruled on interstate calls, there was an effort by some activists to get them to help to regulate intrastate calls. But the FCC, I think, has basically said, we're not sure that we have jurisdiction over that. It really comes down to the Utilities Commission. You know, the state prison system has an investment in here, and so does our legislature, obviously. Other states have taken to regulating prison phone calls. Right now, 8 states plus the District of Columbia accept no commission from the private phone companies. And in all of those states, the prison phone calls are cheaper because, again, there's no profit motive. So in Ohio, if it costs $3.75 for a 15-minute phone call, you make that phone call twice a week for every week, it averages out to about $390 a year. In New York State, which has the same number, about the same number of prisoners, they have about 56,000 in their state. If you make that same 15-minute phone call for 2 weeks every week for the whole year, it's about $74.88. So it's much more affordable for those low-income families. If New York can do it, if Rhode Island can do it, if Nebraska can do it, I think Ohio can do it too.
Yeah, in Rhode Island, I talked with a legislator there who drafted a bill back in 2006. That's how long ago they got rid of these commissions. And after a nun, you know, told her, she said these surcharges are making these phone calls entirely too expensive for inmates and their families. So she drafted a bill and it became law, and it reduced their phone calls from about $1 a minute, because they get a 10-minute call in Rhode Island, from about $1 a minute down to 7 cents a minute. And that's for a collect call. It's actually even cheaper if you prepay for it. So, and their service provider in Rhode Island is Global Tel Link, the same people who provide service here in Ohio. And I would say that all of this goes back to the commissions. If they don't have to pay that $15 million commission in Ohio, then they are able to reduce that rate. They don't have to make up that money.
Right. Global Tel Link is a for-profit company. And so if they have to pay a premium to the state of Ohio to have that monopoly, then they have to make up for
because
that premium.
And then it allows them to be able to afford the other states that are more restrictive in what they can charge.
Right.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher. We're talking about a two-part series that WOSU's reporter Mandy Trimble produced and reported for WOSU. You can find that at our website at WOSU.org. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm Ann Fisher. Phone calls can be the only link to the outside world for some Ohio prison inmates, but in Ohio and many other states, those calls are not cheap. State prisons' phone service providers charge inmates or their friends and relatives for other services as well that are cost more than they do on the outside, much more in some cases. Still with us is 89.7 NPR News reporter Mandy Trimble. She produced and reported a two-part series on phone and other charges that inmates and their loved ones pay while incarcerated. You can find that at WOSU.org. Also with us, Mike Brickner of the American Civil Liberties Union of Ohio. And joining us now by phone is David Ganim of the Prison Legal News, a national newsletter that reports on inmates' rights across the country. Welcome to the show, David.
Great. Thank you, Anne, for having me.
Also, I just want to remind folks that we did invite the Ohio Department of Rehabilitation and Correction to join us today. They declined our invitation. David, your publication recently analyzed prison phone contracts across the country. Is Ohio typical?
I would say it's sort of somewhere in the middle. Certainly other states rank higher, some lower. But as you, I listened to the tail end of your conversation before the break, you mentioned about the $15 million kickback that the Ohio Department of Corrections receives. And that is a big incentive when talking about these contracts. If you eliminate the commissions, you're able to lower the commission rates. And as we've seen in states that have eliminated commissions, their rates have reduced dramatically. And we're not talking just those long-distance interstate rates that the FCC order affected. We're talking about long-distance rates within a state, which are the majority of the calls that inmates make, along with local calls. California, New York, those are some of the largest prison systems in the country, and if they can do it, if they can provide reasonable rates for inmates and their loved ones without compromising security, certainly Ohio and other states in the country can do it.
When did these kinds of commissions begin?
We started working on this a decade ago. So I started with Prison Legal News almost a year ago, and looking through their data and the information they've collected, they've been researching this 10 years ago, and the commissions and kickbacks started even in the beginning of the 90s, and this started becoming an important role as far as getting kickbacks and commissions for the state DOCs and collecting additional revenues for the phone companies. And as your contributor before the break mentioned, These Global Tel Link, Securus, and these large inmate phone companies, they're trying to absorb profits, and this is their way of making money, and they're able to do that in this fashion.
What you mentioned, that New York, Rhode Island, and some other states are able to do it for much less. Mm-hmm. What are some of the most, in your opinion, egregious or highest rates that are charged around the country? Which states charge the highest?
It depends on what we're talking about, and which whether it's a long distance in-state or long distance or local call. But we're seeing that Delaware has some of the highest rates in the nation as far as intrastate long distance calls within a state. Ohio is somewhere in the middle, but we're seeing that those rates we're seeing rates in Washington State, which are quite high. And callers can look and see and analyze for themselves by going on to our website, www.prisonphonejustice.org. What we do is we receive contracts, these inmate phone contracts, which are public records. We do public records requests, and we get all of these inmate phone contracts, and we upload them to our website with a map of the United States, and they can simply click onto their state and see the inmate phone contract for their state, along with the inmate phone rates. And we have those all listed on our website, and that's www.phonejustice.org.
Why can't the FCC control interstate calls, too?
They can. They have jurisdiction, and they're able to do so. And unfortunately, it is a long process. We're so thankful that they were able to, Commissioner Mignon Clyburn was able to work with us and organizations like us and the ACLU in reducing the long-distance calls that inmates are charged between states. But as you see, those calls are still high within the state. We're talking if somebody from Columbus who's incarcerated calling somebody home in perhaps Cincinnati, those calls are still going to be high. So they do have the jurisdiction, and they have the authority to do so. Groups like ours, ACLU, and inmates and their families who can advocate and say, look, this is unjust, and we want to lower these rates because it is unfair to loved ones and families who are affected by this.
Mike Berkner, ACLU Ohio, you were going to say something?
No, I was just going to agree with him that, you know, while the FCC moves slowly, I mean, it is our position that they do have jurisdiction. I think that there are some people that have questions over that, but I think it's very clear that the FCC does have jurisdiction. Unfortunately, with any kind of federal change. It's often glacial in speed. And I think the other thing that, you know, took this change in terms of interstate phone calls so long is the nature of prisons, is that, you know, most people in society just want to incarcerate someone, lock away the key, and not think about the conditions there and what's actually going on the inside. And most people in the community don't know what family members and what the people who are there actually go through. And I think it was thanks to a lot of really great grassroots organizing, pulling these families together, that there was finally able to be some change and some general awareness about issues like these.
Andy?
And I will note, as our guest on the phone said, that the majority of the calls do come from in-state. And if you look at the numbers of the calls that were made last year, more than 90% came from intrastate calls, whether that be long-distance in-state or local calls. The vast majority came from them. So while the FCC did make those changes for interstate calls, and it is saving inmates lots of money, there is a need to perhaps take a look at those in-state calling rates as well.
Mike Brickner, was the jurisdiction, or David Ganim, join in, was the jurisdiction clearly more clear with, say, federal prisons, and that's why they went ahead with that? Because there's probably more, a lot more interstate calls with federal prisons.
I think it was like Mr. Brickner mentioned, it is a glacier process, and it was the way to sort of get the ball rolling. But yes, people are realizing that more of these calls are being made, more of these calls are intrastate calls, and they do have the jurisdiction to do so. And I think it's going to take advocacy groups like ours and inmates and families to speak out and say, you know, this is unjust, we have to make a change, this is unfair. And just so you know, like I said before, we are keeping a list of the contracts that are throughout the country. We also keep a list of those contracts that are expiring, and we're doing a call to action in some of the states. Now, in Ohio, the contract with Global Tel Link is not up until 2016, mm-hmm. but in many other states, it's up this year, and we're doing a call to action and calling on advocacy groups to call the governor of those states and the commissioners of the Departments of Corrections within their states to make the change and to plead for change and to lower these rates.
David Ganim, tell us how the bidding process works. Who is GTL bidding against, and how does it work?
Oftentimes, what happens in this bidding process, and it's usually the three big ones are competing with each other, and whoever offers the biggest commission gets the contract. So whoever offers the biggest commission to the Department of Corrections, they're the winner in the ball game. And usually in the outside the prison phone industry, it really is the consumer, whoever can offer the consumer the best quality of service, the best rate is the winner. But it's reverse in the prison phone game. You know, the Department of Corrections throughout the country, they're looking at the commission dollars, and whoever's receiving that high amount often wins the contract. But we're also seeing discrepancies in that. In some states, they're showing that they're offering these high commissions, but they're also showing that a reduction in, like in Florida here, where we're located, we've seen that they have offered a high commission, but they're lowering the some of the rates on some of the contract proposals. So what we're seeing is that our advocacy efforts have made a difference, but we still have to keep pushing along, and that's why eliminating commissions completely, like they did in the eight states that I mentioned, especially in the largest areas of the country, New York and California, they have shown a dramatic reduction of long-distance and in-state long-distance calls. So that is the major factor, and I think you hit the nail on the head before you took the break, that eliminating commissions really is the way to reduce these high call rates.
Mandy Trimble, how long has Ohio had a contract like this with GTL?
GTL went into effect, I want to say, in 2010.
Was that the first contract it had with the state, or has it gone on, do you know?
I do not know. I want to say they had a contract with GTL prior to that, but that might be I'm not sure. My memory is not serving me well.
Don in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Don.
Hi, yes. My question is relative to the statutory jurisdiction of the PUCO over the inmate phone system. Is a inmate phone system, which is secure and has protocols for monitoring and restriction of who you can call, is that really considered a public utility in terms of the state code, or is it a special classification? That's my call.
That's a good question. Mike Brickner?
I believe that the PUCO does have some jurisdiction over it, and that, in fact, if families have a concern about gouging or service issues, that PUCO is usually the place where they would report those issues. They haven't taken a lot of action so far on some of the issues that I think have been brought to them, but I believe that they do have jurisdiction, yes.
And that's a very important point to make. Some public utilities commissions have the authority to work with the FCC on this. Some do not have the authority. For example, in Tennessee, the Utilities Commission does not have the authority to do so, and the same in Virginia. But in Nebraska, we had worked with the Utilities Commission on a local level, and they were able to work with FCC and advocacy groups in lowering the rates. I did try to contact the Utilities Commission in Ohio before this interview. I did not get a call back to find out what their jurisdiction and law is on this, working on lowering the rates.
Okay, thanks, Don, for that call. We have an email from a listener. When inmates purchase items in the commissary, it costs more because I can buy on sale in large quantities. For example, I buy aspirin on sale in bottles of 100 or 200. Inmates can buy a bottle of 24 and only 24, and it's never on sale. When you send a money order, in addition to the $1.50 fee, there's the cost of the money order, the cost to copy your driver's license and print the required form, plus a stamp to mail it. When you go on visit, the price charged to buy food from the vending machines is higher even than the price stamped on the items. For instance, a sandwich marked $2.50 will cost $2.90. If the machines fail to dispense, you have no recourse. A phone number is posted, but when you call them, you never hear back or get a refund, and they charge you $2 just for the card you have to use in the vending machines. And the cards can't be used if the inmate is transferred to another Ohio prison, which was a question I was going to ask. Are these costs, when you deposit money in these accounts, are they transferable? And they're not even within the Ohio State prison system?
I don't know about the transferable portion of that. I do know if an inmate gets out of prison, when an inmate gets out, and say the family member or the inmate, whoever was putting money in.
Is there a balance? Yeah.
And there is a balance. You can get that money back, but then there's also a surcharge to get that money back, and it may not be worth the effort. I mean, if you have $20 and it's an $8 surcharge, I mean, $12 is $12, but some people don't think that's worth the hassle.
David Ganim, just before I let you go, we did have a caller earlier who said, hey, it costs $30,000 plus, definitely more than $30,000 in Ohio, to house and feed an inmate in any given year. Why shouldn't the state get something back from the inmates for that?
Well, I just don't think that the cost of housing inmates should be on the backs of families who are trying to stay connected. I mean, we have 2.7 million children in America who have an incarcerated parent. I don't think that the prison system should be funded on the backs of family members who have an incarcerated family member. Those things should be taken within the state government system and how they fund their state agency programs. It shouldn't be on the backs of families.
David Ganim, thanks so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
That's David Ganim. He's with the Prison Legal News. He referred to a recent report of a 10-year analysis they did of phone services in prisons across the country. We'll have a link to that on our website at WOSU.org/allsides. Mike Brickner from the American Civil Liberties Union of Ohio, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks a lot, Ann.
And also Mandy Trimble, reporter for WOSU 89.7 NPR News. You can see her report. You can listen to her report at WOSU.org. Mandy, thanks for joining us today.
It's always a pleasure, Ann.
Thanks for listening. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.